good to see everyone tonight, especially our visitors. We've got a number of visitors. Good to see Matt and Jenny again. Good to see those from Bethany again with us as well. We'll be picking up in the middle of a lesson, but don't worry, you wouldn't have missed that too much if you weren't able to be here this morning, because I cut the lesson so short this morning because we had that congregational meeting. And so probably the majority of the lesson is going to be reserved here for the evening service. We had discussed the topic of modest apparel, modest dress. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, that in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. And of course, we know that principle applies to men as well, that our apparel ought to be modest. We know that there's two directions that apparel may go. It may go into the direction of gaudy, where it is overdressed too much, and of course that is wrong in the sight of God. There may be some abuse of that every now and then in the church, but it's pretty safe to say our problem today is the other end of the spectrum. Too less, too little clothing that's on, too much skin that is revealed. And so that's usually the emphasis of these kinds of lessons, that we might always be reminded God's will in regards to our dress. Now, we spent the majority of our time this morning in Genesis chapter 3, where there we learned how Satan seeks to unclothe, essentially, and God seeks to clothe. That was a principle that we made very clear. And the first thought that Adam and Eve had when they had ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was that they were inappropriate in public. That was the first thought that they had. The Bible reveals at least that was their first thought. And so we asked ourselves the question then, if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is public undress? It's one of the two. And we suggested that it was evil. Indeed, it was something that was shameful. And so they sought to be clothed. And we discussed the clothing that they were given. The kataneth was the Hebrew term that is used to describe this tunic that would have reached from the shoulders to at least the knees, as we saw from other historians, perhaps all the way down to the ankles. And what we've been learning is that God always has cared about how it is that man presented their bodies. And we're going to continue this discussion tonight, and we're going to take a turn into talking about what has happened in America. What has taken place in this great nation in the times in which we have been on this continent here. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says this principle that God has always cared. He says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. God has always cared how we present our bodies. The Bible is very clear about that. Now, this shows us a few things. It shows us that God cares how we present them, right? There's a certain manner in which He respects and a certain manner which is not acceptable unto Him. And that's what we'll go on to say next. It shows that there is an unholy way to present your body, right? If He says to present your bodies holy, that means there is an unholy way. And further, it also means that there is an unacceptable way to present your bodies. Where He says, present your bodies acceptable to God, that means there is an unacceptable way. We must be aware of what this is. We must be able to better understand the standard that God has set. Now, through this study, I'll be sharing some of what I've read from this book called The Christian and Modesty. It's a very good book. It's not written by a member of the church. This is written by a denominational type person. And yet he, through his own study, was able to pick up some of these things that's taken place in America. And also in regards to what the Bible says about modesty. And he shares some of his thoughts. Now here was a very good quote I thought I would share with you. He says, Christian peoples were often noted for their modesty. Of course, he's speaking in times gone by. And heathen people for their immodesty. Today, the line between professing Christian and the savage tribesman has become increasingly blurred, and I'd say amen to that. As more and more, quote, Christian people resort not only to the pagan practices of scarification, tattoos, and body mutilation, but have thrown off their, quote, restraints of modest dress in favor of the trendy and physically revealing. Americans have come to think of this, of nakedness, as normal and acceptable. Yes, even preferable. I thought that was very right on. That was just hitting the nail on the head. It couldn't have been described any better by someone that was a member of the Lord's church. And here it's not one that's a member of the Lord's church. This, like I said, is not a New Testament Christian. So what has happened in America? When you think about the first that came over to this great continent, the pilgrims, you know, you were able to have an idea of their dress, and you'll notice how modest it is, how it reached down at least the knees, and usually they had leggings after that for the men, and the women always wore long dresses that they might be clothed as well. When you compare that to today, it's quite different, isn't it? Here's another picture of what might say a modern people wearing these kinds of clothing. And remind yourself about these people. A lot of these were very religious individuals. In fact, they were coming over to this part of the world because they were trying to get away from Catholicism and also the Church of England. And they were trying to break away from that religious control that was opposed upon them. It wasn't that they wanted to shed the shackles of the Bible, but that they wanted to be able to understand the Bible and the Bible alone. And this was how they dressed. Well, notice the 1700s. Compare that with today. Again, you'll notice great similarities there to the 1600s. Not much has changed in terms of what is covered on the body, but we do see some changes in style. And that's to be expected. What about the 1800s? Again, changes in style, though we see most all the body is completely covered. So we got the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s. Notice this as well. You know what you're looking at is a swimsuit. That's a bathing suit. There in the 1800s, the 1850s, the 1860s. And when women wanted to go out and to swim together, they wore these bathing suits, these bathing dresses. Really, one of the only pictures of a swimsuit you can show here and display in a presentation like this. Again, fully clothed. So what has taken place in America? There's a couple of questions that we need to be thinking as we're talking about this subject. Two questions need to be answered. Number one, why was nakedness not public until modern times? When we often think about our lives, we often have a worldview that's shaped by what we know, what we live, and what we perceive. And our children are being raised, and we were as well, and at least when I say we, my generation, in a time age where we think that, you know, to be immodest is the cool way. I mean, that's what everybody is doing. But that's tunnel vision. For the most part of those that have lived over in this country, that's been the exception to the rule, right? Because most folks have understood the principles of modesty. So why is it not public until these modern times? And that leads us to another question. What changed in our society then put skin on display? What took place for this to start this trend? So let's think about this for just a moment while we answer it. First off, when you think about that first question, the answer is quite simple. Our culture sprang from a biblical worldview. Like I said, those that were coming over here weren't trying to get away from the Bible. They embraced the Bible. They loved the Holy Word. They believed the Holy Word. They taught the Holy Word. Our forefathers also were individuals that believed in the Bible and followed the principles of Scripture. And that took place in the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s. But in these last 100 years, that's been a shift away from that. And that's what's taking place in that second question, the change in our society. God's Word has been drowned out more and more. People have begun to not think about it as serious or authoritative. I mean, that's certainly the time we live in today. It's just another book, right? Maybe an interesting book, but certainly not the only Word of God. And it's being drowned out and replaced by the secular media and the fashion industry. These are becoming our standards, not the Bible anymore. You see, when the Bible was the standard, there was a different type of dress. When the Bible is replaced as a different standard with the fashion industry, then we see a different type of dress, don't we? And so the question comes to you and I, what are we going to conform to? Which standard will we adopt and will we choose? Will it be our world? Will we violate Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, conform to our world? Or will we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? I want to share with you some of what Jeff Pollard, had shared in his book in regards to the dates of the change in the swimsuit. Now, it's interesting. He said he just went down to a local library and was able to do this research there. Any one of us could do the same thing if we wanted to note these dates of change. It doesn't take a great scholar because these changes are very recent in terms of history. He said it was about the 1920s that finally the legs and the backs were being more progressively bared. In the 30s, that's when cleavage started to make its appearance to the light of day. Within the 30s and 40s, the body that was hidden under those bulky swimsuits, again, they also started to emerge more and more. You can almost imagine, maybe it was a modest swimsuit at one time, and then it was thrown in some kind of, hot dryer, and it was shrunk, you know. Of course, they didn't have those dryers in those days, but it just kind of paints an image in your mind. I mean, it just, the skin, the material just, was shrunk. In 35, a two-piece suit first appeared. It appeared in these fashion magazines, and just so you know, the midsection only revealed just an inch or so, inch and a half, in between the two pieces. Well, of course, that inch is going to grow to more inches, isn't it? In the 40s and 50s, it bared more of the midriffs. The suits, though, they inch ever lower on the bosom, so they're coming down this way. In the meantime, it's coming up this way on the leg, right? Higher on the leg. Some of the newer suits went strapless. Here's what Jeff said in his book, page 43. Elasticated knits accentuated the body in a way that was previously impossible. So advancement in technology revealed more of the body. Now, the body underneath could be amply exposed, while its designers could declare that it was, quote, covered. In the 60s and 70s, the navel was exposed, so eventually, again, the top part comes down and below the navel. In the 70s, the high cuts revealed the hips, and so it was no longer those shorts that would be worn, but rather they were coming up the sides of the hips. The 80s and 90s, of course, introduced to strings really leave nothing at all to the imagination. So what happened in America? In this century, 1922, there was actually one that was arrested for indecent exposure when they wore something that was revealing this way. It was just a one piece. And here we are, 2011, less than 100 years later, and you have sometimes, sadly, members of the church wearing the very things that people were arrested for less than 100 years ago. How does that take place? One word, desensitization. And you see, Satan didn't make that jump from the 20s and 30s all the way down here, 80s and 90s, right? He did it slowly but surely, year after year, decade after decade, inch by inch on that material. He chipped away at it until more and more of the body is revealed. So what is the standard revealed in God's Word? Well, before we actually get to that, let's again remind ourselves of some of the principles that are very important. Oh, let me share with you this swimwear ad. This is very interesting. And men and women, we need to think about this. This is the way they pose it today, the swimwear. Our fit specialists are specially trained and ready to help you determine your correct swimsuit size. We know that when you are choosing the bare minimum, you want a fit that plays up your assets. I wonder which assets are being played up. I mean, do you think about that, brethren? Not one that calls attention to those less than perfect areas. On every tag, you'll find one or more colored dots to help you find the suit that best flatters your figure. Again, does this sound like something that a member of the church, that a Christian, a New Testament Christian, wants to be a part of? That they want to be able to reveal the bare minimum and to play up our assets and best flatter our figures? Hopefully we all would answer with a resounding no. Doesn't sound like the purity of Jesus Christ at all. So, the general principles that are given. We've read some passages so far. Here's another passage. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Paul says, "This I say, therefore in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." He's telling the Christians there at Ephesus, don't be like the rest of the world anymore. And what a great reminder for you and I today. Now, how did those Gentiles walk? He says, well, they walked in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. So notice here, here's how the Gentiles walk. They walk in the futility of their mind. That is, they do the things that please them, that make sense to them, that jive with their wisdom. They have their understanding darkened. I find this term interesting. Darkened. Not just dark, but darkened. You ever, I'm sure you have, a dimmer switch, seen a dimmer switch, and you slowly, ever slowly, just creep it down the switch, and the light's just slowly disappearing. Your eyes almost adjusting where it's hard to tell the difference until finally it's dark. And again, when you think about what's happened in this country, a lot of that illustration plays a part, doesn't it? Slowly but slowly, we were desensitized to what is appropriate. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's where that leads. Separation and severance from God. Life of God. And eventually you're past feeling. You don't even notice it anymore. And that's what it's getting like. Our children go to school, and of course, they're not shocked by what their friends wear. And the dances that they may go to, and the swimming events and all that, they're not shocked by those things anymore. We can get to that part, brethren, when we get away from the Word of God, where we'll be past feeling, giving themselves over to lewdness. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, again, we'll read this, we've read it before. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." 1 Peter 1, verse 14 says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance." That is when you didn't know God's will, when you didn't know right from wrong. "But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And that's spelled H-O-L-Y, right? Not H-O-L-E-Y. Holy in all your conduct, because God is holy. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own?" Of course, that's the cry today. It's my body. I'll do what I want. Dress it as I want. No, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember, Satan seeks to unclothe. God seeks to clothe. Glorify God in your body. All right, so where's the standard? Is there a standard? Can we say that there's a line, eventually it's crossed, and that's what God would not approve of? Well, we need to think about this for just a moment. Because if there is no objective standard, if there's no objective standard, then one could wear anything or nothing at all. Am I right? I mean, if there's no standard, that's true. And no one could say boo to them about it. No one could say, well, this is what God thinks about that. If there's no standard. Yeah, however, if there is a standard, we need to appeal to Scripture for it, don't we? This is the measuring stick of God for us today. What does His standard say? Well, we had started again this morning at Genesis chapter 3. And there we learned that God designed clothes to not just cover those private parts. That's what Adam and Eve did. They did that on their own. God went above and beyond that. Now, of course, while we cite Genesis 3, please understand, we're not saying that people need to start wearing those animal skins again. We're not talking about the very mode in which they dress, the fashion or the style. But we are talking about concealing and covering what God would have us to cover in public. Think about it. God killed those animals, didn't He? Did He kill them in vain? Was there something wrong with the animal? Was there something evil that the animal did? No. There was something evil that man did. They sinned. Sin into the world. Corruption into the world. Ungodliness into the world. And therefore, something had to pay for that. And God wanted to right the situation. And so God covered them, didn't He? And when He covered them, He didn't give them fur trunks or a fur bikini, did He? Now, we made that very clear. The kinnituth, it was a tunic, a robe that would have gone to at least the knees. Now, I realize people will say, well, I think it would have been all right if God would have given them the fur bikini and all the fur trunks. All right, but that's not what God did. And we need to always remember to not exalt our own wisdom. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. So just because something might clear it with us, does not mean that it's cleared then with God. God is our great standard giver. Now, God's standards did not change there in Genesis 3. That was the only time in which we see an example of this. Rather, we see that nakedness was still nakedness, even in the time of Moses. There was an instruction given in Exodus chapter 28, verse 42, where God says there to, in clothing the priests, He was describing the garments, and He said, you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. Now, if one went back to Exodus 28, verse 4, they'd actually see, again, the same word used, the kinnituth was used in regards to this. And God goes on to specify here to make sure that length was explicit, from the waist to the thighs. The American Standard Version says, these were breeches from the loins unto the thighs. And the same word, as I mentioned, was used in Genesis 3 and verse 21. So God made this for Adam and Eve, and now He tells the Jews to make the same for themselves as well. Why, God? So that their nakedness might be covered. That's why. Now, I have to mention this because sometimes there's individuals who say, well, it doesn't say that the thighs need to be completely covered, but just two of the thighs. Now, that's an argument they might give so they can use their or wear their short skirts or short shorts. We have to understand that there's a Hebrew term that's being used, this word right here for from. It's a word that describes the beginning, the end, and everything in between. From the waist to the thighs. Notice, here's what the pulpit commentary says about it. Unto the thighs, i.e. to the bottom of the thighs, where they adjoin on the knee. Again, so the covering of the loins included the thighs. The thighs were included. We might put it in this way, in our modern day vernacular, from A to Z. Right? We know we're including Z in that. Z's not excluded. When we say from A to Z, we're including Z as well. And when God said from the waist to the thighs, He was including them as well. That they'd be covered. That this garment, again, would reach to the knees. So God didn't change His will from Adam to Eve. We saw it from the shoulder to the knees. Didn't change His will from the Jewish people here, from the shoulders again to the knees. What about in the New Testament times? When God became man and walked among us, what did he wear? The ketan. Remember we discussed earlier? That was equivalent to the Hebrew kinteth. And so there was this Roman tunic that was called the ketan, and it also would cover the same mount of skin as well. John 19:23, it says, "And the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece." I find it very ironic that the Holy Spirit made sure we knew how that tunic was made. Without seam. Woven from the top in one piece. We have a pretty good explanation and description there of what it is that Jesus wore when he was here among men. So again, the definition of nakedness did not mysteriously change from the Old to the New Testament. It remained the same. And let's ask ourselves in all honesty, I mean, do we really think we could ever picture Jesus in modern day swim trunks? Or his mom, Mary, in a bikini? No, I mean, those images are the furthest thing from our minds. So why would we ever want to wear those things in public, to be dressed in such a way to expose our nakedness? Well, ask yourself this next question. What are the saints in heaven clothed with? Now, the book of Revelation gives us a good picture. I realize that Revelation is a symbolic book, but again, we can use it in principle to show what is important to God that would be covered or appropriate clothing. There, if you guessed it was long clothing again, you're right. That word stole literally means long clothing or a gown or a robe. It's often translated in our Bibles. Revelation 7 verse 9, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white stoles, long clothing, and palms in their hand." Again, you find the same word used in Revelation 6:11, Revelation 7:13, and also 14 as well. So again, over and over again, what have we seen? We've seen from the garden to heaven. God's standard is unchanged, don't we? From Adam to the Jews to Jesus to heaven. The standard's the same. From shoulders to the knee, that our nakedness may be covered. So when I reveal my thighs, I may not, and the world may not think, "Oh, Stephen, you're now naked." But God does, right? Right? If He's the great standard giver, God thinks that, and it's nakedness. He's defined that. We've let Him do the talking, right? We've let the pages of inspiration tell us what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. Yes, America has changed, while the Bible hasn't. And sad to say that in large respects, the church has changed while the Bible hasn't. And it shouldn't be that way at all. When we understand the standard, then we'll understand that women shouldn't wear halter tops or short shorts or short skirts that expose the thighs. They shouldn't wear low necklines that expose the breast or cleavage. Men need to be careful about the athletic gear that they wear, that also that they are appropriately attired and covered as well. Wedding dresses shouldn't be shoulderless, shouldn't be backless. And when we do these things, when we don these things, make no mistake about it, our nakedness is on display in public and we are in sin. We're immodest before God. We're immodest. Make no mistake about it. God is not pleased because He's given us a standard. He's told us His will. And we shouldn't be surprised that He's given us a standard. I mean, if He can tell us that the shame of our nakedness could be exposed, then don't you think it's only fair of God to tell us then what is nakedness? Of course. And that's why He's defined it for us and given us a standard. Like I said, from the Garden of Eden to the Jews, to Jesus, to heaven. We have a standard. So who's going to set your standard? Who's going to set my standard? Will it be God or will it be man? Who will be your lawgiver? I mean, Jesus said very plainly, you cannot serve two masters. And we made the clear case from there, the example of Legion given there in Mark chapter 5, when the demons of Satan infested that individual, he was naked. When Jesus healed him, he was clothed. Satan seeks to unclothe. God seeks to clothe. No man can serve two masters. Which master will we serve? The Bible tells very plainly in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So it is no surprise that His Word reveals much about how it is that we must dress when we are around the world. I appreciate your attention this evening. Hopefully this study has been very fruitful for you in glorifying God with your body. And we hope that it would encourage you. I believe this congregation, by and large, does a good job in regards to this matter. But we need to make sure that we understand we've got children. And they go to school and they need to be hearing these things from us as their parents. They need to be hearing these things from the pulpit here at the congregation. They need to be hearing these things in their classrooms, the children's classrooms, that they might always be reminded what God's will is for them. Because these principles start very early, don't they? I mean, I've already been, before Penelope was even one, just pulling down the dress just by habit. She always gets that habit down. And we need to do that with all of our children. And let us be reminded about that ourselves as well. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'd be willing and open to receive it and believe it. Repent of your sins, to confess Christ before men and women, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you do that, you can be saved this very night. If you're a Christian but you've fallen away, then we exhort you to repent and turn back unto your Savior who loves you, who died for you, and desires to forgive you again. Won't you come while together we stand and sing? Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?